Welcome to the Cup and Saucy Book Club. I'm Jen.
And I'm Zanna.
What's in your cup today, Zanna?
I'm drinking Whiskey Rebellion tea from a Charleston, South Carolina tea company, Oliver Pluff & Company. This is a bourbon-scented smoky black tea. The tea was briefly aged in whiskey barrels, and the whiskey scent does permeate. It's a little smokier than I usually like my teas, but it's smooth enough to balance that. It's part of their line of historical teas, this one referring to the 1794 Whiskey Rebellion in western Pennsylvania, which, after sneaking a peek at our guest bio, seemed appropriate. What's in your cup?
Today I'm having some of the, this is a sweet fireweed honey tea from Alaska Wild Teas. So you remember last year when I went to Alaska, I picked up that
yes.
fireweed herbal.
Yes, that was great.
This is from a different company, but I was looking for more of it because I ran out and came mm-hmm. upon this. And this is actually a black tea.
Okay.
It's just got the fireweed infusion. So it's a flowery black tea, basically.
Okay.
I just love being able to say I'm drinking fireweed. it sounds slightly naughty and slightly illegal at the same time.
It does.
Well, you mentioned Pennsylvania and the Whiskey Rebellion,
I
and
did.
Our guest today is Pennsylvania born. He's a narrator based in New York City now, classically trained with a BFA from NYU, and he's been working professionally as an actor for over a decade, achieving awards for his work on both stage and in the booth. And he also narrates under the pseudonym Robert Hatchett, for which he gave us permission to say that. I want it on the record. And he's a proud member of SAG-AFTRA, and when not on stage or in the booth, he can be found out fishing on a stream somewhere. That sounds so relaxing. And enjoying nice long fantasy read. Rob Brinkman, welcome to the show.
Hi. mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
And so I will have you stated again for the listeners and for the record. You, sir, allowed us to use both your name and your pseudonym, Rob Brinkman and Robert Hatchett. Correct?
Yes, indeed I did, yes.
Okay.
They are both me.
They are both you.
They both participated in the Whiskey Rebellion of Pennsylvania.
right.
But Robert Hatchett is what you use as your romance pseudonym, so for romance titles.
Yep, and I go through all my romance will go through that pseudonym.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we've seen lots of titles on there, and you've worked with several friends of this show already, mm-hmm. Samantha Brentmore, C.J.
Yeah.
Bloom, and our patron saint, Aaron Mallon. And
yes.
Is there anybody that you haven't worked with yet that you're looking forward to doing that with? Narrators, authors?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I got myself into the romance genre before I was sort of reading romance. And so mm-hmm. It's been a real learning curve for me to learn the different authors that are prominent in the different genres and all the different narrators. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my sort of wish list has stemmed from the people I've met and the people I've worked with, and then seeing who they're working with as I'm going through Audible in the morning, just kind of checking samples and seeing who's mm-hmm. working with who, and then meeting these people in real life and realizing 4 hours later that that's actually this person, because I met them by their real name, and actually I've listened to you, I didn't know that, oh my gosh. So I've been really lucky to have worked with, so I'm not going to answer that question, because off the top of my head, pseudonyms and real names really get flipped around, and so
right.
I'll
That's
say that
fair.
I have been lucky enough to work with some of the people that I have been, you know, honored to meet in person, and have had some repeat books with. Samantha Brentmore and I have worked a bunch this past year, and
yeah.
she's my girl.
Yeah.
She's the
amazing.
Shit.
She
yeah,
is, and she's been busy. Boy, has she been
yeah.
busy.
Yeah, she crushes. She's,
yeah,
she's so
she's,
good.
She's amazing. And we talked to her again recently. It was exciting to because she's our first, and you never forget your
she
first.
She was our first narrator.
Forget your first.
Yeah,
yes,
she was our first
was
narrator
also,
to say yes to us.
Let's go. She was one of the first narrators that I met in person at my mm-hmm. first trip to Indies Invade Phillies. So she was amongst
yeah.
that little milieu of truly
yeah.
incredible narrators
that's where,
that
that's
were there.
That's where we met you, I think.
Yes,
well.
yeah,
that
and
is
that was
where
your
we
second
met.
One, right?
That was my she was there the first one as well.
Okay.
But that was this past year was my second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was an amazing day. And like this whole wall of narrators, you guys took up an entire side.
We did.
Of
we had
this
a flying V.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the people at Audibly Addicted, they are so good to us. They bring, you know, they really help bring the narrators together for that event. And they've really created a good little community, a little core community that's, I feel so lucky to be a part of there.
That's one of the things that's really interesting about the audio book, especially romance audio, is that it is such a community and it is such a you know, just they're so supportive of each other. And that's been very clear.
I mean, it's,
in everything, everybody we've ever talked to that's part of that community has been just so, you know, cheering on their fellow narrators. And it's been wonderful to see.
It's such a unique part of part of this industry, because, you know, coming from a theater background, you know, it really is, it's very competitive. You know, there's so few jobs and so many people applying for those jobs. And with audiobooks, it really is, I mean, it's the opposite, right? I'm like getting work from guys who are like, hey, I'm too busy. Like, and they need a narrator. Mm-hmm. Would you want to take this? And then you work with someone and they're like, hey, I need a co-narrator. How do you feel about this project? And it's, I mean, it's the best. It's such a breath of fresh air, especially when, you know, shit hits the fan and things get moved around. You know, I've had narrators who were like, hey, you know, here's a sweet picture of a bunny that I rescued yesterday. I'm talking about you, Stephanie K. She's so wonderful, and she rescues bunnies, and she really, you know, she lifted my heart a day when I needed it. So it's a great community.
So
I mean, we can all talk about it for hours.
Well, and you're, you know, they're sending you pictures of bunnies, but you also lift up the hearts of the community. Okay, so how I first found out about you. Was before I had actually listened to a book that you had narrated, I found your TikTok, and you've got a lot of really entertaining stuff on your TikTok. So my personal favorite.
It's a generous word to describe it.
No, it's not. if anything, I am underplaying, because thank you, Verizon, is my favorite thing. So listeners, if you have not yet, and there will be links to Rob's TikTok on the show notes for this episode, but
I apologize in advance.
If you have not yet discovered Rob's TikTok, there's a lot of fun made up songs on the fly, narrator observations, and all from your booth.
That's right.
Yeah, Jen sent me the Daddy Arsenal today in prep. That was
was, you know, inspired by Pedro Pascal and that moment he had as the country's universal daddy. But it's fun. TikTok's fun in that way. I've like TikTok has been so good to me. It's kind of been a major reason why I found my footing in the romance community. When I started it, I guess about a year, maybe 2 years ago now, that's how I got in touch with so many authors, indie authors, other narrators. And, you know, those early posts, you really never know what's going to stick until I started just recording the things in the dumbest recesses of my mind that make me laugh. And some of them make other people laugh.
Well,
and it's worked out well for me.
So, it makes you so approachable and human and relatable in some ways. And it just makes it fun. You know, it makes it.
Exactly.
That's very kind of you. For me, it's like it's like my approach to the work, right? Like I'm constantly laughing at myself, at myself in the booth. And sometimes what we do is really intense. Like some of these scenes are really intense, tear jerking scenes. And some of them are these wild sex scenes where it's like, how is this, you know, within the laws of Newtonian physics possible? And so I think it's good to be able to like laugh together about the things that we enjoy. Yeah, it's like, what is it? Is this a monster book? I didn't know. So I just try to share what is making me laugh about it, you know, in a celebratory way,
though,
right? It's all a celebration.
I mean, it's just,
yeah.
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 because, you know, it helps to balance the emotional scenes. And then it also just
right.
It also just keeps you honest. You know, you're going
right.
to you're going to be in that box for, you know, talking to yourself for a long time. And sometimes it's just, yeah, OK, I'm going to relieve the tension for a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then an hour goes by and I'm like, did I just spend an hour on a 15-second dumb song <That's> about nothing? All right, fuck it. Let me post it. I got to get back to work. Get another right. cup of coffee.
Don't let this be a total
yeah,
waste.
But that makes me happy. I'm a singer, you know, like making dumb songs, goofing about. It's that's fun for me.
So what is it that you're using for some of those videos? Is it a
for the music?
Yeah, for the music ones.
it's a dumb little app. It's an app. I think it's called Vocoder. For Voloco is the name of the app.
Voloco.
And, yeah, I think it just creates that little harmony effect. You tell it what key you're singing in, and then it auto generates like a harmony for it.
Yeah,
you know, whether
it's
you
not
want it to be major or minor.
But it's similar to
yeah,
that.
And it's like doesn't quite work all the time, but it like it works most of the time, and it's like, you know, a sweet free little app, and that it allows me to dingle around. And like they have like a catalog of music that like users upload, so you can kind of like make tunes to their music.
Oh,
and so,
wow.
When I really, when I like really want to procrastinate, like really good, I'll
right.
put that app on and lose a few hours of my life. But it's satisfying. It's like an oral stimulation, hearing
right.
harmonization in your head in real time while you're singing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that's a feel good.
You know, I think that a good time waster is underappreciated. I mean, they're just.
Thank you. Come on.
There's just sometimes where it's like, no, I don't want to be doing anything or, you know, having to be anywhere. So let me just lose myself right here through this.
Yeah, and I'm creating, right? I'm doing something artistic.
Flexing those creative muscles. Yeah, it's all part of the creative space in your mind. And
exactly, just, yeah.
You know, we can justify
giving a workout
around here.
Oh,
that's right. Exactly. I need this.
I am the master at the justification. Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, we all got to do it. We all got to do it.
Especially that's right.
when in these little dark boxes.
Yep. Yeah. I'm the one who took my family on vacation to go to a book conference or book convention.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Which one? Like, where'd you go?
It was Readers. No, it was Romance Invades the Canadian Rockies. I convinced my husband and son.
Oh,
last year.
That's on my
list. Like, wouldn't you like to go to the Canadian Rockies for vacation? And they're like, yeah, that sounds
great. Was it beautiful,
though? Oh, it was gorgeous. Oh, my God. And we fell in love with Banff. It's such a beautiful place. And now this year it's going to be in Calgary, which is still a beautiful city, but. But it was so, so amazing in the mountains. But, yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, and she went
approved.
Without me.
Approved.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Well, no, we went to separate book events, and then we went to some together. So,
it's tough, right? Like, there's so many. It gets us expensive.
So many.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Got a budget.
We're not going to nearly as many.
My annual budget for these things.
Not even half, I think.
Which is sad because they're the best. I'm really excited. I'll be going to Paris in April for the Rare Paris.
Oh, you're going
nice.
To Rare Paris.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm super, super, super pumped about that.
Excellent.
You know, taking a little trip, bringing the wife along. That's a good
awesome.
Excuse to make a real trip out of it. So.
Yeah. For
yes.
Paris?
Yes.
It's good. We got engaged in Paris, and so...
Oh, really?
It's our first time back since then. It'll be quite romantic.
Nice.
Oh, so there was no persuasion involved in this at all. It was just like, I got signed for Paris. You want to go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, her computer was out with flights within 10 minutes of mentioning it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I'm like Duolingoing French like a madman right now. And don't ask me to speak any because.
Right. Yeah, I've been obsessed with Duolingo for the last couple months.
That little ding is in my nightmares and also is like my only dopamine drip right now.
You can turn off the ding.
What?
You can
oh,
turn off
see, I don't know
sounds.
If I can because I need it now.
Right.
Now
I need it.
It's the hit.
Yeah, it's the hit that I need. I God, that's so conflicting to know I can turn
my
it off.
My family and I are going to Greece and Egypt this May.
Ooh.
And so I was teaching myself Greek and Arabic with Duolingo. But then I got obsessed with the experience points and was like, I need to go higher.
Gamified language learning.
Right. So I switched over to German because I lived in Germany as a high school student for a year. So I'm just
God, how many languages do you speak?
Greek and Arabic is like hello, goodbye, and thank you, and can
right.
I have a
coffee? Right, yeah, I know enough Arabic to be able to read signs now. So,
That's pretty incredible. That's a very different language than English.
Different alphabets and different, I mean, with Arabic, it goes a different direction than I'm used to. It's a lot.
Hats off to you. Here I am struggling with, you know, bonjour.
Bonjour.
That really puts it in perspective.
Well, you know, I mean, you have lots of accents, and you know, your the inflections of, I mean, the daddy video really shows that off. So, you know, so we all have our gifts.
This is true. This is true. Accents are fun.
I think there should be a Duolingo for accents.
I think there is.
That's a great idea.
I don't know that there's a game of it, but I think that there is at least a warehouse.
No, but
I'd
like gamify it. Gamify it,
yeah.
For sure.
Gamify accents. Okay. You know, if we gamify the accents, we would never get narrators out.
This is a million-dollar idea. This is true.
I know, right?
Well, accents are tricky for audiobooks, right? It's like, because sometimes
you
want an accent that is like spot on and representative of, you know, the space this is happening, but then also sometimes they want an accent that is just a hint of it, which is sometimes harder to do when my accent work is all based in like the IPA, International Phonetics Alphabet. I was trained in college, so I have my like scan sheets, and you know, from your vowels to your diphthongs to the consonants, and so to do a hint of an accent is like, it's a bit of a mind warp until you get into it, and once you hit a stride with any character, it becomes sort of embedded in you.
Well, and doing an audiobook allows you that time to really kind of get into it, because you're there with it for 8, 9, 10 plus hours. So you're you're immersing fully into it.
It is immersive. That's 100%.
Do you have rituals for yourself for how your day starts in the booth, or things that you do when you've completed a book? Do you have your own booth rituals?
Rituals for when I complete a book?
Oh, well, any kind of booth rituals for yourself. Either you can't start your day with, you know, without this.
I see. Cool. Yeah, no, booth rituals. I do. I do have, I start my day, I have to like really warm my body up. So I'll walk my dog and do lip trills when I'm outside. And I think the people in my neighborhood just see me as that guy in the morning doing lip trills, walking my dog. And that's just fine now.
Yep.
I slam water. For me, it's like wake up, slam water, warm up, eat, warm up a little bit again, and then I'll be ready to go. And it's like that gets me through all the gook in my throat. I do some like neck massaging in the morning. And then I do like 20 push-ups and I get in the booth, and then I'm ready to start my day. That's kind of like the daily warm-up ritual in its most basic form. And then when I finish a book, I have a little bell outside, and I go out and I ding the little bell, and just a little celebration.
I love that.
There's this reality show Selling Sunset, which they're like realtors, and when they sell something, they ring this big-ass bell, and so I got a little bell for myself that I ring.
There you go.
My wife also works from home, and so she just pops her head out of the door and applauds.
So it's like that little Duolingo serotonin thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice,
I am learning. I do have a thing for dings now, I guess. This is a little bit Pavlovian. Right.
Yeah, very Pavlovian.
But yeah, that's kind of my rituals. Everything else is kind of like on a need to do basis. I've got my little like aromatherapy here that I use to open my sinuses. Sometimes I like to record with all the lights off and just the mood lights on. Sometimes I like to put my work lights on, which like are kind of fluorescent-y, but sort of keep me focused. But I always keep the lights off in the room outside my booth, so I feel like I'm in my own little outer space,
little space
bubble. Yeah, just for focus, you know, because I get so distracted so easily.
Well, I'm always interested in the booth rituals, especially now that I have a real honest to God booth.
Yeah.
So, we you're one of the newer ones that we've or the most recent that we've been talking to since this has been built. So because we had
fun.
We had to stop and reschedule in a few times because it took a little longer to build this thing than we originally intended.
But congratulations, because you know, the booth is, it's I had a deal. I didn't get my booth that I'm in now until a couple years ago. And so I was recording out of a space that I built myself out of doors that I found on the street in New York City. These old tenement houses, they're closet doors.
Yeah.
The old ones are like solid wood, and they're heavy as shit, but they're really solid. And so every time I would see one on the street, you know, I would every time I saw a door on the street, I would run up and knock it to see if it was hollow or solid. And if it was solid, I hauled that shit back to my house. And so I built this booth that, like, you know, it had a whole bunch of sound treatment inside, and it sounded, oh my God, it sounded great. And then upgrading to this one is a bit more isolated. You know, the prefab booths, they just have that isolation. Again, because my wife works from home, and she was taking board meetings on our bed and with her laptop, which thankfully she doesn't have to do anymore. She can literally work out in our living room, and I can still record. That is how tight this booth is these days.
Wow. That is amazing.
Okay, no, we haven't quite got there yet.
I'm in the back of
my... It takes time. I mean...
I'm in the back of my closet. So if I'm fine unless my son goes upstairs. And like
exactly, but they work right. Like they're very acoustically
sound. He has all the stealth of a freight train.
Oh yeah,
stealth of a freight train. As anyone on stairs does. I mean, could anyone walk?
Well,
if I was, you
but
know,
he
in my
like
Harry Potter.
He wears hiking boots all the time, and he like stomps on the stairs.
You know, he's ready for anything, ready to go. My one buddy always has his shoes on, and we always give him crap for it, because you know. We always do, and he's like, I just got to be ready for anything. You never know when something's going to happen. We got to go. Like, so you're going to leave us all here?
Yeah.
You're going to run out the door with your boots on?
You know, I fear for your friend group in the zombie apocalypse, because he's out the door, and you guys are just going to be left behind.
He's going to be saving us all. He'll be hauling us. No, for sure. You got to have one friend that's like really ready for the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you know, that leads us to the zombie apocalypse question. What do you, you know, what's your weapon of choice for that one?
Oh my God, I've been waiting for this question my entire life.
Bring it.
I love
Bring
apocalypse
it.
Fiction. I love that shit. I have a go plan. I mean, you know, I live in New York City. I'm in Harlem, and so we're like close to the GW Bridge. I'm like, all right, we're gonna drive out, but if not, we're gonna make a raft. We're gonna get across the Hudson. We're gonna get to Jersey. But my weapon of choice, you got to have something that is like blunt and long, right? Because you got to be able to like, you know, keep, if we're talking zombies here, we got to, you got a pole arm. Yeah. But not the pole axe, because that's going to get stuck.
That's the thing.
Like, you know, you can't use these pointy weapons. They're going to get stuck, and you're going to be a zombie in 10 minutes. So I'm looking for your baseball bats. I'm looking for your, you know, chair legs. But I think it's going to be probably improvised for the first, you know.
Sure.
A few hours at least, you know.
Oh,
grabbing
absolutely.
Chairs, what have you. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I've got a few of them. Every New York City apartment has a baseball bat.
I work for a company that has chainsaw helicopters. So
what the fuck? wait.
Okay, wait. This is the first I'm hearing about the chainsaw helicopters.
Can you please tell me more about this?
And we have chainsaws that hang from helicopters to cut down the branches near power lines. And so I'm going immediately to the... And we also have chainsaw trucks for the same thing. So they're set to a certain height to cut branches down. That's
so you're going there, you're taking one of those. Yeah, you're like creating one of those little vans. That is nuts.
Right.
Also, you said chainsaw helicopter.
And how many people does that seat?
Yeah, in my mind it was like the propellers that were chainsaw, because that's the little...
No.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's a regular helicopter, but it has a long pole hanging below it with a chainsaw on it.
Right, because that's practical. Because that's the practical form
it
of chainsaw
is
helicopter.
When... It is when you're going to
when you
got to
cut the power
line.
No, I get it.
But also, so if you have a bunch of zombies.
Chainsaw's a great weapon for the apocalypse.
It is.
Exactly.
I mean,
but
the only problem with it is
this is
fuel.
Okay, so hear me out.
You have to have fuel. Yeah.
I was
You're right.
I was thinking about this on my walk with my dog yesterday. I was looking at cars, and there was a car with a flat tire up by me. I was like, huh, no one talks about this. How long does it take for all the cars to get flat tires that are just sitting around? So in all these zombie shows, they're like, all right, we got to get out of here. I'm going to just siphon some gas into this car that's been sitting here for, I don't know, 3 years.
But also the gas goes bad.
Air in their tires?
They probably don't have
gas
air in their tires.
Or
gas
and
goes
it
bad.
Evaporates.
Gas goes bad. Yeah, gas evaporates. Tires can deteriorate over time. That's one thing that we learned during the pandemic is that people who just had their cars parked for 3 years, their tires disintegrated.
Yeah.
Over time.
What?
Yeah.
If they're sitting in the sun.
And then you have weather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're sitting in the sun.
Well,
they're going
I live in the deep,
not moving.
Deep south, so it is really hot.
All right, you're getting baked. You're getting baked down
there. Yeah.
And the tires are literally melting. Yeah.
I guess, okay, that makes sense. Well, I'm glad we're all thinking about tires and the apocalypse.
Any post-apocalyptic thing that has people using cars is not going to work. Yeah.
It's tough. I love the Mad Max and all, but I'm like, how's that going to work? Going in the desert, it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, even the ones that, you know, convert and run on vegetable oil or whatever, you're going to run out of those fuels eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've put a whole lot of thought into it because I actually came up with a zombie apocalypse plan for the company.
That's practical.
Because you can guard.
Yeah, but they paid her to come up with a zombie apocalypse plan.
Yes. So, because you're dealing, you can handle basically a protection plan from bipeds without singling out any particular group other than unalive.
I need
Americans.
Your company name, and I'm gonna spend all my money investing in your company because they have chainsaw helicopters and a zombie apocalypse out plan that makes me just so happy deep in the core of my soul. Oh man, I haven't done a zombie apocalypse book, and I really want to. I love fantasy. Like I said, fantasy's my life.
Are there zombie apocalypse romances? Because I feel like that's a market that's untapped.
There are apocalypse romances. I don't know necessarily zombie.
I feel like that's a market.
Yeah, authors, you listening? You listening, authors? Someone please write this.
Right.
Please hire me.
Give me a zombie apocalypse romance and hire Rob.
And you had mentioned, too, that you not only were in the booth last year, but you were on stage.
Yeah.
So tell us about the Great Gatsby. How did that come about? How did it? What'd you think?
Totally.
All about it.
Well, I'm an actor. That's kind of how I found my way into audiobooks to begin with. A stage actor. I went to school for musical theater. I grew up singing, dancing, and acting. That's my background. So that's what I had done for years, and even through the beginning of my career with audiobooks, I was still performing a lot. The biggest sort of change that allowed me some space to put more time into audiobooks was the pandemic. I was in this show in the city, Stomp, which is this rhythm show before the pandemic, but then
I saw the national tour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fabulous
awesome
show.
I love that whole, that family. It's like a pirate ship, being in that family of performers and creators. It's a strong-knit community that once you're in, you're kind of in forever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Death will not release you.
No. And I don't want to be released. I'm very grateful for my time with that show. But then during the pandemic, I had to have back surgery, which sucked.
Oh,
so I decided to not go back to the show and instead, you know, put myself into audiobooks, which is what gave me the sort of full-time flow of work that I'm in the mix with now. And then last year, this piece kind of came out of the blue. You know, I still got reps for theater, and they sent me in for this immersive Great Gatsby show. And I've got a lot of experience with immersive theater. And so I was like, oh, this could be really cool. And so I auditioned for it, and I booked Nick Carraway, which is such a, you know, a bucket list character to embody
a
reformed bibliophile that I now am.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool. You know, the writers, they had been doing this show in London, in the UK, for 7 years it had been being developed, and this was the first production over in the States that they had done. And they spent like millions of dollars renovating this space in Midtown to like be Gatsby's mansion. It was like You'd walk into a room and it was fully furnished. It was like Gatsby's office. It was bookshelves. It was dark tones on the walls. It was leather furniture and like a secret door and these working phones that were in each of the rooms. So it was an immersive theater piece where the audience was invited in. And as an audience member, you were an attendee at Gatsby's party. So all the characters in the show, you know, could interact with you as a stranger at a party. So we were doing these scenes, you know, the show started with this big opening monologue from Nick Carraway, and they gave so much like straight from the book text. So I was working, you know, these were like, you know, long ass monologues that were like the opening few pages of the book. And so I just got to sit with this book for a couple months and like dive into Fitzgerald's words. And, you know, those words are pretty damn good sometimes. They're very, very,
they are very powerful,
beautiful and expressive and powerful. And there's so much to say in that piece of theater. And to have had the opportunity to bring people into the scenes with us and to experience the, you know, the highs and the tragedies of that piece was a, it was a pleasure. It was really cool.
Wow, so that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I got to meet so many teachers. You know, you meet people after shows, you know, at the stage door. But for this show, you know, the show ended and it was a big celebratory moment and we took our bows and we're in the center of the space. And, you know, we kind of have to walk out through the space to get to our dressing rooms. And so inevitably you encounter, you know, people who came to see the show and they stop you and they want to chat. And my favorite interactions were from the teachers that came to the show. You know, people who would grab my arm and be like, hey, I've been teaching this book for 25 years. And, you know, they'll say something nice to me about my performance and it'll make my year. But those teachers are the ones that, like, their opinion really made an impact. Because I'm looking at these people who, like, you have touched the minds of hundreds, if not thousands of like, young people. Mm-hmm. And this book had a place and a role for that. And to see them come and be in tears at the end of the show, it's like, wow, that's theater. This is why
that's wonderful.
This is why I do what I do.
And if you can get a student to connect with a book in a new way that, you know, speaks to them in a way that maybe a traditional way of going about it wouldn't do, then you've opened up a whole new world of literature to someone, which you know, goes right in line with you doing audiobooks, because you know, audiobooks are a way for some who, for whatever reason, don't eyeball read a book, and you give them a new experience and a new way to connect with a story. And so, God, that sounds amazing.
It was like a real culmination of like all the things that I've been working towards with my life, with theater, and now with audiobooks, and getting to do this piece in an immersive way. It was just like, oh man, like this was a very special opportunity. And, you know, to hear you say that about, you know, young people listening to audiobooks, I wish I had audiobooks when I was a kid.
Right.
I was not a reader. I would have not identified myself as a reader. I was a theater kid, so I was slamming plays and doing musicals my whole life, but like I wasn't sitting down and reading. And it wasn't until later in life that I like found my genre, and I burned through a 400-page fantasy book in like 2 weeks. I was like, oh, it's not me. It's just,
I didn't know what
I wanted to read.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of had that experience simultaneous to my first few books and narration. I was like, oh, this is actually something that might mean a lot to me now moving forward.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Because as Rob, you do narrate several fantasy books as well. And do you still get time to read at all? Or is it just like you're in
it's
every
tough.
Narrator's
it's really tough. I usually have one physical book that is my like nighttime read. Because I like to have a physical book for my neuroses. Sitting down with a book is like one of the few ways I can actually disassociate from everything. For however long that is. So I like to have a book, and it'll usually take me a while to get through it, but that's totally okay. Right now, it's this crazy cosmic horror book, which is terrifying to read before bed, but it's still what I'm doing. And then I have one audiobook going, which is usually like a 35-hour fantasy. And so that's what I listen to when I'm walking my dog, and pretty much just walking my dog, because that's the only free time. Sometimes when I'm cooking breakfast, I'll put it on. So I'll have like the audiobook going, the fantasy book. I got my nighttime thriller going. But other than that, it's tough to find time to read for myself these days.
Mm-hmm. It's what I call the narrator's conundrum. You know, you get into this because you love to read, and then and then you become an audiobook narrator and you never read for pleasure again.
Well, you know, we're reading, you know, prepping is such a unique type of digesting information as reading, because I'm reading the book, but prepping it, it's a little bit different. I'm not, you know, I'm going a little bit quicker, and I'm also cataloging everything. You know, my favorite thing about sitting down and reading, like my nighttime book, what I love about it is that I'm not taking a beat to be like, okay, new character, let me write this down. What's the description of this character? Okay, let me do a quick search. And how often is this character in the book? I can just be like, oh, cool, new character.
You're just enjoying the book. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Here they are on the scene. There they left. And like, cool, we'll see them again, maybe. But I'm in the scene. So it's nice to have that as perspective of like, right, that's what is the experience for someone seeing a story for this first time, whether it's they're reading it or listening to it. It's nice to have that reminder of like, okay, this is what the experience could be like for someone. The crazy thing about audiobooks, performance-wise, as an actor, is like, you only get one performance that everybody sees. You do a piece of theater, it's like, you do a show and like, you have a great fucking night and you come off stage and it's like, oh, fuck yeah, that was awesome. And then the next day comes and you're like, feeling a little bit weird and like, you do the show and it's like, oh man, it didn't feel like, that just didn't feel like it clicked for whatever reason.
I wasn't really in it,
Yeah, but you have all these different iterations of it. You have so many different chances to perform it in different ways and to be received. But with an audiobook, you only get one. And it's, I'm a narrator who will go back and re-record sentences 5 to 10 times if it really doesn't feel right. Because I'm so stuck on this idea that this is it. There's no matinee tomorrow.
And there's only one time for a first listen, you know?
Yeah.
So for the listener. So that's what makes it so fascinating to me to talk to narrators and why we do it. And even though we started this as, oh yes, we're going to talk about books and we do talk to authors, but we spend a lot of time talking to narrators because this part, you know, expanding the story in this way is what makes it really interesting to me. And so what do you have coming up? On the day that we're recording this, you just had a book come out yesterday.
Yes, today, the announcement for Brutal Arrangement by Laurel and Page just got announced, which is a cool duet. So I should have put some little blurbs up here ready to talk about. But there's a series that is in the process of coming out. We've been recording the books each month this year by Casey Shea, her Wilder Valley series. I got a book with Samantha Brentmore in there. Maxine Mitchell and I have one. And we've got a few more down the road, and that's really nice. Second chance romance in this small town. It's been kind of nice to have that series at the beginning of each month. It's like, okay, we're going back to this town. A couple of the characters cross over. So that's great. I've got a fantasy romance, the third book in that series, The Beast of the Briars by Elizabeth Helen, co-narrated by Stephanie Kay, who showed me those sweet bunny videos.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Why Choose fantasy romance. It's really fun. It's really fun. It starts off as like a loose Beauty and the Beast kind of parallel retelling. Then, I mean, the book I'm on right now just has some wild action sequences, and the like fantasy brute in me has got a real hard on for it. So that's really fun. I've had a bunch of rom-coms drop recently that I've been really proud of. Forbidden Hero by Jackie Walker, co-narrated by C.J. Bloom. It's got great banter. I'm really enjoying the rom-coms lately. The sort of Golden Retriever, Sunshine Dude, that's kind of where I think I'm finding I naturally sit in. And so those books have been really fun lately. Tyrant by R.K. Lilly. It's actually, that one's a solo narration, totally from the male point of view.
Wow.
A lot of really fun banter in that one. And then Walk of Shame by Avery Flynn with Savannah Peachwood.
I have that on my TBL.
that one's
which
really
fun. Which is extensively long.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no. So you'll get to it next year. That's good.
Yeah.
But it's a goalie hockey romance. I played goalie as a kid growing up. And so
oh,
I've
wow.
done a number of hockey romances. And I was like, fuck yeah. There's some goalie terminology in there because, you know, we're the weird guys on the team, right? I was in the net singing show tunes as a kid, and it's crossed over for the rest of my life.
And we look forward to hearing more of all of your time in the booth, talking to yourself or talking to other great narrators. And I want to say thank you so much, Rob, for being on the show today. This has been a lot of fun talking with you.
The pleasure has truly been mine. Thanks for having me.
And all the information about Rob, including links to his TikTok and to all of the books that we've talked about today, will be in the show notes on our website, cupandsaucybooks.com.
You can also follow us on social media at Cup and Saucy Books. We are on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. If you like what you hear, review and subscribe to the show on your favorite pod platform.
And keep your eyes out for that chainsaw helicopter.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you for joining us for the Cup and Saucy Book Club. Join us next time for more great conversations from the world of books.
And probably chainsaw helicopters. I'm sorry, no. And probably chainsaws.
The people have to know. The people have
to
know.
They do.
Happy reading.
Cheers.